leader, Reverend Glenda Day.
Thank you, Diane. We had lots of different things, lots of changes today. Desi, thank you for doing the opening prayer. That was a new little touch we added.
Yeah, but I gotta remember to do the opening prayer.
Right. Didn't mean to throw you a curveball.
No, that's okay.
Okay, now if you would like to sit in front, you're welcome to. Then I won't be turning all the way around. Okay, so welcome again. It's nice to be here, and it's nice to be sharing these ideas with you today. So our talk today is entitled New Thought, Using It. We are a new thought teaching. And so we're going to talk about how to use this in our lives. Because just having the theory, just having the words and the ideas is not enough. If it isn't useful in our lives, if it's not helping us to make changes and have a better, more successful experience, then what good is it? It's just an empty vessel. Ernest Holmes, the founder of Religious Science, which is one of our New Thought teachings, had this to say on that subject. He said, "One of the greatest difficulties in this new way of thinking is to engage in too much theory and too little practice. The truth is that we only know as much as we can prove by actual demonstration. That which we cannot prove may or may not be true, but that which we can prove must be and is the truth." So we're wanting to move beyond just the words and the theory into the practical application, which is what I think we all want to benefit from, is the practical application of this teaching. When I was raised in my earlier rendition of religion, it was all about when you die, then you're going to go to heaven, you know, if you follow these rules. But when I got into New Thought, I realized that we are establishing our consciousness right now. We can live in a heavenly consciousness right now. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "The kingdom of heaven is within." And so we are seeking to bring that withinness out into our outer life and experience. So just announcing a principle, just announcing that we are such and such, doesn't do any good if we're not able to embody it and live it. Just to be able to say, there is no sickness, there is no evil, there is no poverty, those are just empty words unless we can embody that and live that in our life experience. When we're just talking about it, we call that talking the talk. That's just an empty thing. What we want to do is walk the talk. We want to live this teaching, live this life. So we have to demonstrate it, and what we can demonstrate is what we really know and understand, what we've really embodied. So this teaching is based on principles, laws, spiritual laws. Just as physical science is based on physical laws, so spiritual science is based on spiritual laws. And all laws and principles are invisible. They're invisible. You cannot see electricity. You can see what it does, but you can't see it itself. You can't see gravity. You can see what gravity does. You can't see aerodynamics or any of the other principles at the physical level, but we see what they do. So also with spiritual principles, we can't see them, but we can see what they produce. You can't see love. We were singing about love. You can't see love, but you can see when it's being demonstrated, when it's being used, you can feel it as a real and active power in your life. So until we can demonstrate something, it doesn't exist for us. You know, electricity was here from the beginning of time. It was here from the very beginning, but until we could actually discover that it was such a thing and harness it and use it, it did us no good. So about 250 years ago, when Benjamin Franklin flew his infamous kite with the little metal key hanging down and through an electric storm, and he proved that there was such a thing as electricity, it still took another 100 years before the light bulb was invented and we could actually use it. So too it is with these spiritual principles. We've heard about them. We've even seen some of the masters demonstrate how to live a spiritual life. So we're still in the infancy of understanding spiritual laws and principles and how to use them in our life. And I feel that we're on the cutting edge of this. We're understanding that there are spiritual principles that go across every religion, every denomination. They're not the exclusive property of any one teaching. So we understand this, and now we're understanding what they are, how to use them, how to put them into work in our life. Ernest Holmes had another quote that I like a lot. It's kind of like our second affirmation that we'll also use at the end. And it says, there's a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it. I also like to say it can use you, because I think we're in a cooperative relationship with the expression of spirit. But the main thing is there's a power for good in the universe that's bigger than we are. We can't even see it, but we can see how it moves through our lives and through the lives of the great teachers and avatars and masters in our lives. So that's a pretty big idea, isn't it? That there's a power for good in the universe greater than we are. And it's when we acknowledge that and look to that, and we can see the benefits of it, we can see the outpicturing of that, it fills us with awe. It fills us with a sense of awe, and we want to learn how to align with that more closely so that we can be in that flow of that divine idea and how it's to express through us at the human level. So, like I said, it is something that we can't see, but we can begin to believe in it because we can see the product of that. So we begin to believe more in what we don't see than what we do see. So we may be seeing physical conditions and experiences, but we look behind that, like we sang in our opening song, I love myself, and yet I clearly see that all the things in life are done by people just like me. We learn to look behind people, behind situations, and see the real truth of who they are, even if maybe they have temporarily forgotten it or haven't awakened to that fact. We begin to look past the appearances to the truth. So one of my teachers said, when we believe more in what we don't see than what we do see, then what we do see, we won't see. And what we don't see, we will see. You see? Yeah, so it's a matter of refocusing to believe more in these spiritual principles than in their physical conditions and manifestations, because we know that back of every principle is the way to understand and work with it, and we can change our experiences by changing our thinking and our beliefs. That's what our new thought is. There's nothing new about new thought. This is ancient wisdom. But when we take in a new thought into our own consciousness, we change our experience. So new thought changes us. New thought isn't something that we're bringing into the world. It's always been here. It's been ancient wisdom. It's at the base of every great religion. But we're bringing it into a new thought in our consciousness. So here's some of the ideas about this spirit. Spirit, this invisible essence of life, is infinite. It is eternal and it is infinite. It is everywhere present. It is all-powerful and all-knowing. So we call that the three O's. It's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. That is what is the truth about this power that's greater than we are. So that's the first thing that we have to understand and agree with, that we're not all there is in life. There's something greater than we are that we see evidence of and that we can align with. So this principle is always available to us. It's never absent in our experience. We're the ones who, through our not believing it, not accessing it, not understanding how to access it, we shut ourselves off from it. God didn't go anyplace. We sometimes go to a place of doubt and fear and negativity and shut ourselves off from this amazing power that is there for us. So we have to know that it's there. We have to believe that it's there in order for it to flow through us. It would be just like electricity would be everywhere around us, but if we don't accept that there is such a thing and turn on the light switch, we're not going to benefit from it. So we're learning today how to turn on the light switch, how to use it, how to use this power. So I'm going to share some reminders with you today of how to do this, the process to work through this, and they all begin with C. These are C words to help you see this better. So the first C that I want to bring your attention to is for clarity. Clarity. So we have to get clear on what we're teaching here. We have to get clear. Now, this is a self-actualized teaching, meaning that nobody can feed it to you. You have to feed yourself. You have to take it upon yourself through reading, studying. We have a full library of books in the back. We have magazines, Daily Word, Science of Mind magazine. We have talks like this on Sunday. We have discussion group on Wednesday night that you can join and talk about the principles with others. We have A Course in Miracles that meets before the service. We have other people here that you can dialogue with. It's a thing that you have to take self-responsibility for, learning the clarity, understanding the principles. You have to expend a little energy, in other words. You have to do the first work. Now, it's easy to say things like, oh, this stuff doesn't work. I tried that, it doesn't work. Well, that's just taking a negative, cynical approach. And here's the thing about that. It is already working even when you're saying that, because it's done unto you as you believe. So if you say it doesn't work, I can't work it, it doesn't work in my life, you get to be right. You're right. It doesn't. Why? Because you spoke your word for that. That's what you believe. But if you can approach it with a inquisitive mind, oh, I want to learn more about that. How can I be more open to learn more? Then you've opened the doorway just a little, and that's all that the universe requires is willingness on your part. Just being willing to learn, being willing to understand, being willing to seek out the things that you need. So that's just the first step, remember. That's just talking the talk. That's just learning to get clear on the principles. It's not going to get you to a life of demonstration. That takes some other steps. We're going to talk about how to do that. But it gets you started on your journey. So talking the talk, understanding the principle, is kind of like going to school and taking a class or getting a degree or a diploma or an ordination or something. It gets you that far. Maybe it'll open some doors for you, but it's not going to do the job. It's not going to do the job. We all know there are many incompetent people who are educated in every field. Every field. That doesn't get you to the heart of the matter. So here's a brief review of what we teach. We teach there's one power that's called by many different names. We gather in many different places, as Desi stated in the opening prayer, to recognize this one power. But there's just one power, and it has created us out of itself. There's nothing else out of which to be created. If there's just one power, then that's what we have been created from. There is nothing else. So it animates all of life, and nobody has a corner on that market, no matter what they say, not even us in New Thought. We don't have a corner on that market. We have one way of explaining and relating to it, but so does every other group that's heart-based and that's seeking the truth and the understanding of how to live in harmony with life. So you don't have to think that you have to bring everybody to your way of thinking in order for them to be saved. We're not into that kind of thinking. We know that everybody is fine by whatever understanding they have. So we honor every path. We honor every path to the truth. And we also honor the path that works best for us, the part that we can relate to, the part that we can understand and live our lives by. That's important too. So we say that we're open at the top. Renee uses this a lot. And I picture a big funnel. We're open at the top to receive all of the new ideas. There are new ideas coming all the time in science, in religion, even philosophical ideas that are all weaving together and helping us to arrive at a better understanding of the truth. So we don't say, oh, it's not in this book that was 2,000 years old. It's not in the book. I don't believe it. You know, the book is wonderful. That Bible is a wonderful basis. And yet there is new information coming in all the time. God is still speaking. God, the wisdom of the and the intelligence of the universe is still at work. So there's still good to be gleaned from many different sources. So we're open at the top to receive all of that information. So what we do with it is we test it in the laboratory of our own lives. Each of us are like scientists. We're like spiritual scientists. And you can take these ideas, but unless you prove them in your life, they don't do any good. You get to be the scientific determination of what works in your life. So you might just take a little taste of this or a little taste of that and try it out and see, oh, when I'm more loving, my life feels better. My life works better. I attract more loving people into my experience. Interesting. That's what I've been reading and finding out about. So you have proven that principle in your life. So also things about health. There's a lot of talk about sickness now. Well, that is, we catch ideas, folks. We don't catch germs. Believe it or not, the germs are always there. What we do are we catch ideas. So if you're hanging around with people saying, be careful, you're going to catch that. You know, if you take that in, oh, I better be careful, you have made yourself susceptible to something. So you need an affirmation of wholeness and wellness. I am alive, alert, awake, aware, and healthy. I'm alive, alert, awake, aware, and healthy. That is an affirmation of the truth about you. That's what you want to be speaking your word for, not cowering before some idea of ill health. That's not according to the divine idea. So we get to change our thinking when we see that we have a little propensity in some direction or another to think in terms of lack, or maybe we think in terms of disharmony, inharmonious relationships, and we're afraid that, oh, if I hear that, that will affect me or something. We're bigger than that. There's a power greater than that within us that knows how to neutralize everything unlike itself around us. So that's who we are. That's what we need to be firmly anchored in our lives. So we want to go back to first cause. First cause is what our belief is. What is your belief about that? So if you're having a problem in some area, go back to what is my belief about that? How can I change that? How can I change my thinking so I can change my life? It's really a beautiful principle. It puts you in the driver's seat. Now, sometimes I know I don't like that. I like to think that I can do something and get away with it. You know, but my scientific research has shown that that's not true. I can't. That it's going to come back to roost with me, with me. So, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and hoping that you'll get a different result. And you don't. You don't. So just being aware of the fact that our thinking does create our experience. This New Thought teaching was called by William James, the father of American psychology. He called New Thought the religion of healthy mindedness. The religion of healthy mindedness. I like that. So that means knowing that it's consistent. It's not haphazard. It's not just a coincidence when things happen. There's a plan. There's a consistency happening in our lives. So the key to all this is your consciousness. Your consciousness is absolutely the key. So any work that you do on your consciousness benefits you and benefits all of us, all the world, not just us, but all the world. So spending time in your meditation practice, in your spiritual practice, in uplifting your thoughts, in keeping away from the negative and the weak and the negativity is very, very important to everyone, because we're building that consciousness that we can all hook into and we can all use. Okay, so the first C is clarity. The first C is clarity. Okay, the second C is conviction. Conviction. So once you become clear on this principle and how to work it, then you have to become convinced, absolutely convinced, that it works in your experience. And that comes from continued clarity, which brings continued conviction. So you continue to go back to first cause, to what your belief is, to the belief that it's a power greater than you are, that it's using you, it's working through you, you're using it to produce the circumstances in your life, and continue to convince yourself of this truth. So we're becoming clear becoming convicted. Webster defines conviction as the state of being convinced of error or compelled to admit the truth. So when we're absolutely convinced that our thinking and beliefs have an effect on our experience, we're compelled to find the truth. We're compelled to understand the truth at a deeper level. We define the truth as God's master plan. Now, I don't really like the idea of a master plan, so I'm going to call it a master pattern, because a plan sounds like all the details are already worked out, like you don't have free will, that you don't have free choice, and I don't believe that. But I believe that there's a pattern that's laid out of how we are to express ourselves, and that we can get in tune with that pattern, and we can live the life that we were created to live. And so sometimes, like I said, we make choices and we don't want to experience the consequences. But there are always consequences to our thinking. But there's always great love. There's always great love. There's always another chance. There's always do-overs. You always get do-overs. So if you've made some mistakes and you think it's holding you back, that's not true. You always get a new beginning. Every day is a new beginning. So this is a new day, a new beginning. That's something worth celebrating. So sometimes we think that we can do the same old things and get new results. We think, well, I can just eat anything I want and I can still be healthy. I can still be my fit weight. That's not true. Sometimes we think, well, I don't like exercise. I'm not going to do exercise. And then we wonder why we're not fit and flexible and why our skin is not firm. Well, it's because we're not following the rules that go along with that. So there are consequences for our decisions. We think we can spend indiscriminately. I'll just spend anything I want foolishly, indiscriminately, and I'll still have a firm, secure financial future. That's not necessarily true. We have to follow the rules that go along with everything. We think that we can be harsh and rude in our relationships. We can snap and bark at people and still have good relationships. It's not true. There are consequences to everything that we do. So we call that wanting to do one thing and get another result, we call that magical thinking. Magical thinking. So magical thinking says, well, I'm going to mix this red and yellow paint together, and I'm just sure I'm going to get blue. I'm just sure. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed, and I'm going to hope for blue, because I know if I do this, I'll get it. Well, you're never going to get blue. You're never going to get blue. That's just the way it works. So Marvin and I were in the Atlanta airport a while back, and we were sitting in our gate area waiting for our plane, and this man came storming down the hallway toward his gate a little further past, and he was obviously late for the plane. So he was running, and he got there to the gate, and we couldn't see him, but we could hear this loud voices and this loud noise, and then all of a sudden these expletives came out of his mouth, and I looked at Marvin and I said, I think he missed his plane. And so he turned around and he came walking back down. And honestly, you could almost see the steam coming out of his ears. And you could hear all the words coming out of his mouth, all the angry words coming out of his mouth. But you know what I noticed? That plane did not come back and pick him up. It didn't work. What he was doing wasn't working. Now, at one time, it might have. At one time, he might have learned that if you throw a big temper tantrum, people will do what you want. But this is the real world, and it didn't work. So he had to learn something different in order to get his needs satisfied. He had to learn something different in order to stay in a place of peace. Maybe the next plane was the better one for him to be on. I mean, there's all kinds of perceptional shifts that we can do to understand it differently. He had not yet developed that skill. But that's what we need to do. We need to develop new skills in order to manage situations and manage our emotions around them. So in real life, we need to become the captain of our own ship, the captain of our own boat. We're the ones that set the rudder. You know, the rudder's just a little piece on a sailboat, say, but it determines a lot about what direction it will go. And the sails get trimmed, and that determines a lot about the direction it will go. If you have a boat out there on a lake without a captain, without someone guiding the sails and moving the rudder, you're just going to have this boat just kind of flipping around in the wind. It's going to either capsize or it's going to beach. It's not going to go anyplace. Well, sometimes our lives are like that. We forget that we're the captain. We're the ones that are setting the sails. We're the ones that are determining what we're going to think, say, and believe. We're the ones in charge. And so our boat either capsizes, turns upside down, our life gets all chaotic, or we end up beached at the end of our life thinking, what happened? What happened? Why didn't I feel a sense of fulfillment in my life? It's because we didn't take the helm. We didn't take charge. New Thought teaches us to take responsibility. Take responsibility for who we are and where we're going, and use the tools that are available to us. So it doesn't mean that we always have the big picture in mind, that we're always going to arrive exactly where we thought we were going to be. It doesn't mean that at all. You've probably already figured that out. It means that the overall pattern, the master pattern, is a pattern of fulfillment. It's a pattern of harmony and peace and contentment and health and well-being. And as we use our spiritual practices of meditation, of listening to spirit, we're guided and led one step at a time. Sometimes we can't see what's in front of us. Often we can't see. We just follow one step at a time, being led, guided, and directed. And we know that it's taking us in the direction of our highest and best good. So as we continue to use these principles, we become absolutely convinced that we want to live a successful, happy, fulfilling life. We teach a form of prayer here called spiritual mind treatment. And the purpose of spiritual mind treatment is to convince our own consciousness. We don't have to convince God to give us anything. God has already given us all good. We use spiritual mind treatment to convince our own consciousness that we are open and receptive to our good, that we are healing our minds of our illusions, our doubts, our fears, our negativity. That's the purpose, is to help us be convinced. Okay, so now for the third and final C. The third and final C. The first one is clarity. The next one is conviction. The third one is commitment. Commitment. Once we get this idea of how this works and what is available to us and what the divine idea is of loving ourselves as the universe loved us and created us, that it's all for our good, then we become absolutely committed, committed to living a life in alignment with that. We'll do whatever it takes to live a life in alignment with that. So the road between clarity and conviction can be a little rocky. That's because we all have an ego. We all have our own ego that sometimes thinks it knows what, how we should do it and what should happen, and we can get in our own way. And so, and I'm not putting down the ego, because the ego can be a helpful thing. It can help us to recognize ourselves as an individual spirit. But once we recognize ourselves as an individual spirit expressing uniquely as us, then there's a step of surrender. You have to surrender that to the greatest and highest good that you may not in your physical finite mind be able to see. So that's what traditional churches call surrendering to God. Now, all we're surrendering is what doesn't work. So you don't have to be afraid that you're going to lose your individuality, that you're going to lose your sense of self. That's not true. All you're doing is surrendering what doesn't work. You're surrendering your resentments, your anger, your unforgiveness. Anything that's blocking you from expressing more of this divine is what you're surrendering, is what you're giving up. So when we refuse to let the ego step out of the way, we're edging God out. That's the ego, edging God out. So anytime that your life isn't working according to the way you think it should, ask yourself, am I edging God out? Is my ego getting in my way? Sometimes our pride gets in our way. We want to do it our way. We think we know the right answers, and we can't humble ourselves. Well, if we look at the great masters and teachers and avatars and spiritual leaders, they were all very humble. They had released their ego to the greater well-being of good in the world and in their lives. They surrendered. This is important for us to do too, to get to that place of surrender and recognizing this power for good greater than we are that has our well-being in mind. Remember, it's everywhere present, it's all-powerful, it's all-knowing, and it's created us out of itself. So this is something really worth celebrating. So we become absolutely committed to living a life of perfection to the best of our ability. And there are lots of course corrections that go along the way, just like a boat, a sailboat that we're guiding and steering. it has a lot of corrections. 80% of the time, it's off target, it's off course. Just like our lives, sometimes it looks like we're off course, but we just keep in there, we keep correcting, course corrections, being humble enough to admit, yes, I did that wrong, I wish I'd done that differently. Being humble enough to admit those things is very, very important, because nobody is on target all the time. We're just learning. We're spiritual scientists learning how to do this. So when we're committed to living the very highest and best, we're committed to a life of health and wholeness and harmony and well-being. And we align our thoughts and our actions with this commitment. We do whatever it takes to align with that commitment. So using this teaching is about seeing clearly, clarity, conviction, commitment. We have to convince ourselves every day that we are the life of God expressing. It's kind of like a balloon that fills up with air. When we fill up with God, we're expanded. We're expanded as the way we live our life. When we don't let that power work in us, we become deflated. Deflated. So we want to stay expanded with Spirit. This is a wonderful, wonderful teaching. It's available for all of us to use. And it's just an unlimited, there are unlimited possibilities in how to enrich your life and the